Welcome back to The Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Climate change is an ever-present threat that we ignore at our own peril. Regardless of our political ideology or religious beliefs, we're all impacted by the increasing frequency and increasing intensity of severe weather patterns. And the impact of climate change isn't just limited to destruction of critical infrastructure and environmental damage. It takes a toll on our mental health as well, particularly if you're a farmer. A new project from the Southern Oregon Research and Extension Center aims to help people understand their climate change-related emotions, along with the ways to work through them. My guest is Maud Powell, an associate professor at Oregon State University's Small Farms Program in Central Point. She launched a project last year titled Climate Stress and Grief, Building Resilience in Farmers and Ranchers. Welcome, Professor.
Hi, thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
So before we get into the details of this issue, let's talk about you, your background. How'd you get to this point?
Yeah, well, my husband and I have been farming since about 1996. We worked on a few other farms, both abroad in India, actually, and then in the States as well. And then we bought a property in 1998 and have been farming ever since. And then I started working at OSU Extension in 2005. So I've been there about 18 years now.
Okay, so India. Yeah. Tell me more about that.
We were trekking in the Himalayas, and we heard about a project that was placing Westerners on farms in Ladakh, in this region of the Himalayas. And we decided to try it out for a week or two, and then we ended up staying for 3 months. We just loved it so much. We just fell in love with farming and decided to go home and make that our life, which we did.
So that inspired you?
It definitely, very much so.
And now you've been at Oregon State 18 years. What do you do there?
So I run the local small farms program. So we provide education, one-on-one consulting, workshops, farm tours, for both beginning farmers, commercial farmers, and then small acreage landowners as well, who are looking at issues of weed control, soil fertility management, irrigation, protecting their homes and farms from fire, things like that. Yeah.
So let's get into it.
All right.
What is climate stress and climate grief?
Yeah, thanks. That's a great question to start with. So climate stress is any sort of stress that is brought on by changes in our climate. So it's a pretty basic definition. It differs from other types of grief that are more acute. So when we think about farming, we think about in the spring, the ewes are starting to lamb and it's a little bit stressful. So we're stay up at night to make sure the births happen okay. That's a good kind of stress we consider. That motivates you. It's a deadline. It's a way to have energy for, you know, when you need to actually act. Climate stress, on the other hand, it tends to be ongoing. There's no resolution. So it can really have impacts both on our emotional and our physical health. Climate grief, similarly, is a grief that's associated with climate change. It differs from other types of grief. Most grief that we think about is discrete. It's the death of a loved one or an animal companion, which is very difficult, not to minimize that, but it is. It has a beginning and an end, and climate grief tends to be ongoing. And people don't want to feel it because of that. It can be super overwhelming. We're grieving not only what we've already lost, we have grief for other people and what they're losing. There's all this anticipatory grief, all the grief that's to come. So it's really common for people to want to distract themselves, to not think about it, not feel about it. It's not a conversation that's easy to bring up with other people because it can trigger their emotions. And so we tend to not talk about it. So it tends to be pretty isolating for folks.
Well, it sounds sort of like PTSD with veterans and their isolation.
Yes, for sure. It can be that way. And just to tell a little bit of my own story, so I had been working on climate adaptation issues for probably 7 or 8 years with OSU. So we developed curriculum both for farmers as well as ag service providers on how to help farmers make their operations more climate resilient, right? So how to have irrigation systems that use less water, how to build soil health so you have greater water holding capacity in your soil, how to adapt with different crops that might be better suited to a changing climate. So we were looking at all these like practicalities. And so then on our own farm, so we've been farming. We bought property in the Little Applegate, as I mentioned, in 1998. We raised our two children. We went to farmers markets first and then did a community-supported agriculture for 15 years. But we were watching this kind of tendency towards drought. And starting in about 2015, we were getting less than average rainfall every year. We did all the things that I was teaching. We switched our crops. We started growing seed crops. We had all of our crops on drip irrigation to use as little water as possible.
You adapted.
We were adapting, exactly. And then the heat dome came in 2021, which folks will remember was that time in end of June, early July, when the highs didn't drop below, I think, 105 for 17 days. And it was brutal for us. We were pumping water from our lower pond to our upper pond. We actually trucked water in from Medford to keep the crops alive. And at that point, my husband turned to me one night and said, I think we have to move. And it was really devastating for us. My husband joked that the topsoil on our property was his third child, and we picked out where we wanted to be buried on the property. And so then suddenly to realize we couldn't stay was just devastating personally, and then realizing, like, oh, climate change is here. It's not something theoretical.
It's real. My guest is Maude Powell, an associate professor at Oregon State University's Small Farms Program in Central Point. She's leading a project to help farmers and ranchers who are experiencing severe stress and grief due to climate change. So talk to me about this climate stress test. What is that?
I'm not sure we don't have a test per se. I guess I would just say that from that experience of my own, what I found was that I was experiencing so much stress, my husband and we were just kind of dealing with this whole constellation of really intense feelings, going from rage about why is this happening? Why did the oil companies hide information? Why didn't the politicians do something? And then to intense sadness about leaving this place that we had built so much our whole lives, to guilt, to fear, just really a lot of fear about my kids' future and the future of the planet. And so that's when I started learning about what is this climate grief, because as we were needing to make a decision about what to do, we both found ourselves really, like, it was hard to think, you know, and this is where the climate stress and climate grief makes it difficult to make those really important decisions on your farm. What crops are you going to grow? What labor are you going to hire? And it was then that I realized how this mental health impact of climate change is really going to impede farmers from being able to continue to farm.
So the mythology around the American farmer and rancher is rooted in the frontier, pioneer history, rugged individualism, and resiliency.
Yeah.
So how is climate change today different from the challenges that past generations faced?
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, farming has always been incredibly challenging. And, you know, the image of the stoic farmer who doesn't talk about their feelings and just gets to work, I mean, that's real. I actually live with that exact persona. So I'm very familiar with it. But, you know, the research shows with the general population that talking about these climate emotions is so important to resilience. Just naming the feelings. I have the experience time and again where I tell people I'm working on climate grief and they start they're like, what is climate? And before they can even finish the question, this look of recognition comes on their face. Like, oh, that's what I'm feeling. So we're giving a name to an experience for people. And then we're giving people opportunities to talk about their feelings and also to talk about how they're coping. So when we get farmers together to talk about this issue, we consider it like a skill share where people offer each other like ideas, like how do you manage it? So some people like turn the notifications off on their phone, or they only allow themselves to doom scroll for half an hour a day, or they make sure One farmer told me every day he pets all of his 4 barn cats. He makes an effort because we know from research that actually connecting with animals and being in nature is really supportive to our nervous systems and helps us to be resilient.
So how well do farmers embrace these offers of support for their emotional and and mental well-being when they're facing all these pragmatic problems?
Totally. I mean, that is sort of the million-dollar question that our little team at OSU is facing. Well, it's interesting because I think people don't realize they're experiencing climate grief or stress until we tell them. Yeah. And they also don't realize they need to talk about it. So our strategy so far has been to embed some of this curriculum in other climate resilience curriculum. So we'll have, say, a class on, like I said, irrigation strategies, and then we'll talk for 20 minutes about climate stress and how it's impacting them. We've been surveying farmers who take our classes. I think 89% of them said they wanted more about climate grief and stress once they heard it, but they don't necessarily know they want it until they get a taste of it. So it's a little bit tricky. And sometimes I feel a little funny about sneaking in this programming, but people are always happy to have it, and they're always happy to have that invitation to have a conversation, to be real. And people cry in our sessions. People rage in our sessions. And I think there is a catharsis. And then there's this solidarity that builds when you realize, like, oh, I'm not alone in these intense feelings. And other people are feeling it too. So I think actually there's some deep connection that can happen, which I think we'll need to be resilient. I mean, as communities, I think being able to be vulnerable and to share those times with each other is going to just make us stronger for the long haul.
Can you describe your process and some of your findings so far?
Sure. Well, what we're finding is that, in fact, farmers, so just to back up, we did get funding from the College of Ag from OSU to do some pretty in-depth interviews and focus groups with 50 farmers this summer. So we completed that in August. We're still compiling the information. And I will be talking about that more on October 29th when I give a talk for SOCAN at the Medford Library. That's from 6 to 7:30. There's my little plug.
That's fine.
So I'll be talking more in depth about some of the findings from our research. But we are seeing that people do want more mental health support. Mm-hmm. The Oregon legislature passed some funding for an agri-stress hotline in 2023. So there is an agri-stress hotline that's specifically for farmers and for people that work in the forest as well, to provide some mental health services. So we do have that available, but farmers are wanting more of this type of support, and they want it to be paired with more practical climate resilience strategies. So it was kind of my assumption was correct that people don't want to just show up to an all-day workshop on their feelings, but they do want this work as long as it's kind of paired with other more practical information.
Well, that makes sense. So what do you hope will be the outcome? What's your vision for the long term?
Wow, big question. I feel like it would be great if these terms were used more commonly, if some of the concepts around climate stress and grief that I'm currently learning were more out in the general public. Things like being really intentional about self-care, and I hesitate to use that word sometimes, but to find those states where we feel joy and connection and to be actively seeking those out. Mm-hmm. I always think about this like bumper sticker from the 90s that was like, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. And so I always felt like, oh, it's not like there's some part of me that feels guilty for seeking out like joy and connection. Like things are not okay. I should be working all the time. But the research really shows like that doesn't work. We need to there's really cool research from this guy, Kuzlev out of Georgetown, who says that happier people are actually more likely to take action and they're more likely to fight for the climate. So we really do need to be actively working to have those states of resilience that we call it. And I think of it as like joy and connection. So whether that's with your family, whether that's being in a beautiful wild place, if it's playing a game, having a potluck, being on your own, reading a book, whatever it is, we need to be actively seeking those out so that we can deal with those states of distress as they come up more and more.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you, Professor, for joining The Exchange.
Thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate it.
My guest was Maud Powell, an associate professor at Oregon State University's Small Farms Program in Central Point. She's leading a project titled Climate Stress and Grief: Building Resilience in Farmers and Ranchers.